Welcome back to another episode of Artisans in Trade. I am your host, Stephen Obisanya, and together we are peering into the lives of creatives and the work they dedicate their lives to. My guest this week is Local Fish, a New York City-based startup hip-hop duo. Their eclectic, experimental, and energetic sound is introducing something fresh and authentic to the musical landscape, especially with their origins in Wu-Tang's own Staten Island. Comprised of rappers New and Renaps, the duo is carving out their own path in hip-hop from the ground up, starting with their debut album, Leave the Block. In this conversation, we talk about how to scale a career in music from the early stages and some of the challenges that early artists face and have to navigate. You can find Local Fish on Instagram at localfishofficial and purchase and stream their album on Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, or YouTube. If you're in New York City, you can get tickets to their upcoming album release party, which is scheduled for July 30th. All the links are going to be in the show notes. All right. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Here is Local Fish. This is Artisans in Trade. So I heard one of your tracks and I thought it was just like a, you know, an established, you know, rapping groove that's already like taken off. And I was just very curious. So I went to download your album and I noticed that it was just your first album. It made me really like curious about you both. And I didn't even think about it until I saw you both perform in person a few weeks ago. And it just kind of like brought back, cause I didn't know who you were. I didn't know, I didn't put, you know, faces to the band. So when I heard you both rapping, I was like, they sound very familiar.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah, I was really happy to discover you again. So tell me about Local Fish, what the name means, how you both, you know, came together and just all the stuff, you know, that helps to kind of put some context behind you.
Well, that's actually like a long story, but it's a good story. But like, we'll make it like, we'll summarize
it. Brief it
So I don't know if you want to start.
Yeah, sure. Well, Local Fish, first of all, I guess is like a, you know, we feel, especially like being in the Staten Island community, like there's definitely like an interesting local scene here of music. And, you know, I'd say we consider ourselves borough kids pretty much. Brandon's from Brooklyn. I'm from here and on Staten Island. And I don't know, Local Fish was just kind of like a fun throw in the air one day that turned real. Because it just kind of rolled off the tongue, you know, sometimes calling people fishes on the island instead of like, hey, buddy or pal. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Local Fish was just a good way to have us express that we are, you know, we're just like everybody here. We're just trying to like make it artistically with everybody here, but, you know, by just like living our lives, you know, we're not trying to, just kind of have a common name, but that stands out in its own light. We met doing our own separate performances.
Oh, really?
Maybe about 2 years ago. Yeah. We actually met doing a show together, but apart. And, over the course of that year, which was the year before last, about 2 years ago, right. We had this idea to do the music together because why not? And I feel like our energies really meshed and we both bring something a bit different. I don't know if you wanted to add on that. I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, like we met like so random. It's like so serendipitous, like out of nowhere. And then it turns out like, you know, we were both. I mean, I grew up in Brooklyn. I came here to live for high school. And I was doing a show a couple of years back, 2018. And turns out I did a release party a couple of years back. She saw me there.
Yeah.
And then we just meshed later on. It's like fate just came about.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I heard her stuff and her stuff was dope. Like it was really, it was best of the night. And I usually take that crown and I don't even have to ego about it, but I usually, you know, I pride myself on the work I put in. And I saw her really, everyone really liked her and dug her work. And I couldn't even argue because I was like, she's the best of the night at this open mic. So we just put our heads together and we were like, yo, we should really work and make a project.
I think
mentally, you know, to break it all down, I'm like, oh man, I haven't done an interview in a while, let alone hardly at all. But like the reality is like, we're pretty intricate mentally, you know, we love to write separately.
Yeah.
We think about a lot of things all the time. You know, we don't have a ton of friends. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, we kind of have a tight circle and we just stick to ourselves. So being local fish, like that's where that name really culminates. We're local. We're not, I don't know, we may not be international. We may not be good at branching out, kind of introvert, extrovert kind of thing, but
like a fresh catch.
We'll get around. Fish gets around.
You know, make it a splash. Yeah. You know, it really just kind of came about in kind of a whimsical way. And I'm like, that is kind of what we're about anyway. And then, you know, whatever follows, it's like, it's always up to the, you know, to the listener, like, oh, is this going to be like for you? You know, maybe, you know, we want to enter your life the way we do enter life, like, you know,
exactly.
In a fun and genuine way. But the reality is, you know, there's many layers to that. And even though this is the start of it, it's like, I feel like, you know, if you really think about the fullness and the tone of the album, it is a culmination of, you know, some listenability, of course. And then some, like, you know, for some people who, you know, want to dig deeper and try to see what all the words mean, like you have the option to do that. But if you want to just bop to some stuff, you have the option to do that. And, you know, yeah. As much as we plan that, we don't plan it. It just kind of, it did just happen that way. And I'm like, well, I think that's very telling of just like how we are in the community or where we've come from just for our first project together, you know?
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's a wild ride. It's been interesting.
Yeah. It's funny because I didn't think you guys were Staten Island artists. I thought you guys were just like performing in Staten Island, but you were like kind of leaving, you know, to Brooklyn or Bronx or.
we get that all the time. I've gotten that for years. Like it's they're like you're here, like you know what I mean. Like I record out of a shoebox, like literally.
Yes, right
next to me.
It's right here.
You know, so.
That's really commendable because I think from the, you know, the lyrics to the production to just the way everything is packaged, I think it's really well done. And it speaks to the kind of quality that you both like, you know, look forward to or, you know, the kind of quality you curate in your works. How long have you both individually been making music?
I've been making music for, like, I'm not even going to bring up when you're a kid and you just like beatbox or whatever, but you know, like taking it seriously the last year of high school. So for me, that was around 2013. And I used to record down at Moon Studios on Bay Street. And I used to only have like it was $100 for an hour, I believe. So I couldn't pay for mixing or anything. So I would do 10 tracks in an hour.
Wow.
And so I did like three tapes. It was like 30 songs in 3 hours. And I used to play handball every day and I used to be fit. You know, age gets up to you even, you know, I'm still young, but, you know, your lungs aren't the same. So I used to just go and make music seriously. And I just wanted to engineer and record my own music. So taking it seriously, like recording my own stuff, crafting songs, not just writing raps anymore. That's probably 2015, 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. So 2013, I was writing, but it's probably been like five years that I've been like doing it seriously in a real way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you?
Yeah. I don't know. My journey with music's a little chaotic, a little messy, like my actual self, actually. I think out of high school, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, as I guess most people. So I went into animation, actually. So I graduated from School of Visual Arts in the city with a degree in traditional animation. But once I got there, though, I immediately was seeing how like music was taking like a initiative somewhere in my life. Like the first night I was there, I did a crazy karaoke night. I guess, you know, you're just pent up from high school and you're just like, I don't know what's happening. And then basically that spiraled into me being a part of a band that was still on Staten Island. And it was like a dream punk band. I don't even know how to explain it.
She never did hip hop or R&B ever. She never stepped in that realm.
Yeah, I never did anything like that for a while. But I was always writing as a kid. But I just like to write poetry in my spare time and things like that. But I was playing a little guitar, trying to teach myself in high school. But then I became a drummer for this band, and I wrote some of the songs, and I really enjoyed that. And then life happened, and then that had to end because, you know, I don't know, music and endeavors and just lifey life. And then.
So how many years is that even?
I don't know. 20, maybe also like, yeah, maybe 2012 the band started. And then it was only when I came home that I started actually doing hip hop. So I'd say 2015 is when I graduated. And then I started making beats that fall. So maybe the fall of 2015.
It's like 5-6 years.
Yeah. And then I didn't start performing or anything until 2016. So yeah.
That's like similar to me. Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
So like 6 years.
A little elongated there for an answer. But yeah. I should have had that here a little bit of it. Yeah. Yeah. And then basically the night I started, you know, I decided to take it seriously, like individually, it was actually the day I met Brandon. Yeah, that was my first individual show. That was 2 years ago.
Oh, so you were both at the same show. You were performing hip hop as well then?
Yeah.
But she was doing spoken word.
It was like a spoken word hip hop set.
Gotcha. What, so many questions. What happened with the animation journey? Why did that not seem like the path to take moving on?
I think it was practical, and it was also what am I saying, it's interest, I guess. I feel like drawing is always something I've done in my life as like a release, but it hasn't really been a release. It just kind of, I'm not even trying to sound like cocky here, it's just something I can do, right? It's just something I can do, and it's something that I've definitely grown to become better at, 100%. But when it came to, when you're thinking about the motion of objects, and, you know, that's a lot of analytical mindset. That's a lot of like people's mannerisms and timing, and a lot of sitting behind a screen. You know, it kind of is a desk job. And I don't know, it wasn't working with my back and my brain. I was like, I'm absolutely loving this, and making personalized films or being a part of personalized projects is an awesome experience when it comes to that. But the music was more challenging in its own way for me. And it was way more of a release. You know, if I was in the studio, you know, I'd be so late to start the animation, just curating, you know, the right playlist to listen to while I was, you know, to keep me motivated. And
music's really more rewarding.
You kind of, you know, you just have to make a decision for yourself. It's like, it's not what's better, but it's like, what's going to be better for me? And it's hard to make the choice because it kind of just takes over you, right? It's just like your life kind of becomes that, because it kind of always has been that, but you couldn't strip everything down, because I'm like, well, I love to tell stories, and I love to do this, and I love to do that. And my mind almost works strictly creatively more than even socially sometimes, but like I needed to refine somewhere. And I was like, writing is the thing that's really getting me through my life. And it's something that I like to give to people. So like, I really had to make that decision to just kind of go cold turkey for a while with the other thing and keep it strictly musical, because I love it so much.
I love that. Yeah, I love the idea of having to sit down and really like trace the patterns that have always existed in your life, and like figuring out what the big topics that kind of envelops all of those things that you do like find interested. I think that's something I had to do, walking back my like interests all the way back to maybe 12 years old, and figuring out that I've always sought out what was visually pleasing. Saving photos on my phone, not knowing why I was saving photos on my phone, but just like, I like this, this looks good. And then, you know, 6 years later, you become a photographer and you're like, oh, it was always there.
That's really it. Yeah.
It's hard. It's like a slow journey. Like, I gotta say, like, I attribute a lot of even my, just in the past couple of years that I've known Brandon, he's helped me tremendously just with patterns in general. He's kind of like a G at patterns. It really is. He's like, and it really, it helps you. It just helps you culminate everything that you're looking at all the time, but you're just not, you know, I'm always talking about this with him too, but just reaching the end of it, you know, what is the end of that thought? What do I really love about this thing? Do I really love this? Do I really care?
Yeah.
It's tedious and sometimes feels heartless, but also it has the most heart because that's how you, you know, you're going to know when you feel like you're in the right place. Like, I was super happy to even be doing this interview today. I've definitely been like looking on your page and being like, this is a person who really, you know, seems to give a damn about talking to people and their art and their creation. And I would love to hear artists speak like more on, you know, not why they do the thing, but what's going on in their life like that. Yeah. Out this way, and yeah. So I think it's super interesting. Like, I'm super happy to just like be talking Absolutely. About it.
Yeah, I think that's the impetus for this too. I think it's a matter of not only hearing about what people do and how they do the work, but you know, what continues to drive them to do the work. How can someone that's starting out kind of replicate the thing? Not necessarily replicate, but like, how can someone follow in one's path? But, you know, quickly get there without having to stumble like we all stumble, you know, if we can create, you know, less roadblocks for people who come, you know, after us, then that's a good thing. Right. So you both met at this open mic show. I'm kind of wondering how you both decided to kind of like join forces in a way, because I think as musicians, as artists, it's always like, I'll do things my own way. And, you know, I'm better off on my own. I don't need anybody else's input. You already have like a formula for how you work. So how did that conversation and like decision work?
Well, that was probably me starting everything.
Yeah.
I've been doing music for a while, like for like, you know, it feels like a long time to me, but it's kind of like how much I always like use this analogy where it's like, how much water are you willing to get out of the rag? You know, like, you know, you can squeeze the rag, but like, I try to get the last drip out.
Love that.
So I've been like, really, you do something for a while and you get a little bored and you get to the point where you don't even care. You're the star of the show anymore. You now want to lift somebody else up.
Mm.
And you're now, you know, my favorite rapper of all time is Andre 3000. And my favorite rap group is Outkast. So seeing the dynamism and the dynamic things that someone could bring to make things more alive, it's something I've always been looking for. It's something I've always loved. And so, you know, it's been hard. I've been looking for somebody to be like, you know, the Batman or Robin. Like, I've been looking. I got, you know, if my boy watches this, he'll probably be tight because we've done music together. But to be like really on point with somebody on the same page where you want to give a message, but you don't want to come off preachy. I don't want somebody to think I'm telling them how to live a life, because I also don't, you know, so I'm trying to find that nice balance. And meeting her, man, it was just like, yo, you're the one. Like, you're just as lost as me, but you're also just as found as me creatively, or, you know, creatively where you want to go. And we just want to like kind of help people out. It's exactly what this podcast is doing. It's pretty funny. Like, it's the same thing. I just want to like help people out with music, whether it makes them feel good in a small way or they think a little deeper at night. And finding that person to do that with is, it's hard. So some people could, I understand, want to be solo and do it their way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's like one of those moments. Maybe some people, or most people hopefully, will get to experience in their life where they're just like, yeah, this sounds right.
Yeah.
This feels right. Like, I don't actually have to overthink to the end. We were also kind of at points when we met where we're both, I don't know. I'd like to say when I met Brandon, my mindset was vicious kind of mentally, but it kind of needed to be. It was a very kind of let things happen kind of person. And I felt like I was at least being smart enough for myself, but I just began to kind of break off of a lot of things in my life and kind of find my more independent path. And when I say vicious, I don't really mean in like such a way, but kind of in a way where it's like, nah, I really, I got to start like speaking up and making my path for myself and speaking up at all. And I was definitely, I think he was also in a place where he needed to kind of like be like, you know, if I'm going to really do this with my life and I'm really doing this every day, but not just because I'm doing it and I'm living this life. I, you know, we could do that together. I think we could do it pretty well. And why wouldn't we give it a shot?
Yeah. I mean, like what pushed me even further to like even reach out was feeling the same way. You get frustrated and you just say, you know, screw it. I'm done kind of like being home and being scared of how people are going to judge me and perceive me, all these things as an artist, as a photographer, as anything creatively, you got to put yourself out there. And I felt like the year I met her, I felt like my clock was just running out because my grandmother just passed that year. So, you know, my abuela, she was in Ecuador and she came here to the United States and she actually passed in Florida. And, you know, I always wanted to get somewhere a little bit, at least, you know, where that person could see me. And so you just got to keep pushing forward and you it makes you realize like life is short. So you just got to keep pushing through and do as much creative dope stuff as you can while you're here. Like,
no, that's a fact.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's a really, really well said. I think you have a short period of time to really get the things that you want to do out. I look at someone like Joey Badass, who I followed since he was, what was it? Was it 16 or 15? When he, you know, dropped his mixtapes and just like you saw the come up and then, you know, slowly but surely he drops. Is it the first album and the second album? And then you just see the maturation take place of like, oh, I want to do music. And then you see him feature in like a major television show that is like critically acclaimed. And then the show just, I think one of the films he was just in won an Oscar or something like that. So it's just like, you see that, you know, life is indeed short and you have so many creative ideas. I feel like you both, music is not going to be the only thing you ever produce. There's going to be very different elements to the things you produce, from maybe books or films or, you know what I mean? So why not like give it your all and start somewhere and see where it takes you?
Yeah.
I feel that you like,
that's kind of like the next endeavor anyway. It's like doing our own videos or I just, you know, thinking of how to film things when I listen to something, you know, I can see where it should be set, the angles, the lighting. I just don't have all the time for it. You know what I mean? But it's something you, it's another thing to do. It's another thing you want to do.
Absolutely. I feel
that's another reason, like, I think that we got together too, you know, there wasn't anything in our minds about restrictions, you know, it didn't mean to be a unit was to be restricted in any way. You know, we still make our own music, we have our own thoughts, and just like he said, you know, like, you know, when we're writing, right, you know, a lot of writers, and so I'm just speaking to everyone here, you know, you have a film that goes on in your mind, you know, even when I was animating, you know, it's like making a film with your pencil, and it's not easy for me to curate spaces that are like, you know, so human and so everything we see, but you know, you just, when you have different outlets and different mediums, then you can just see, you know, what is the best for you. And so, well, I guess that's another way that you know that you can at least work with another person when you're not immediately feeling like there's a huge restriction on your, you know, your creative freedom. It's like there's no restricting it if you allow yourself to think that you can extend anywhere. Yeah. You know? It's definitely tough, though. It's like easier said than done. It's not everybody's mindset, but everybody should be, I don't know, seeking that like freedom. I think that's a big part of it. Like that's what brings people fear. They feel like they have to maybe constrict and you don't, you know, I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
What do you think, how long ago did you both come together to think of starting to work together?
For this project, like, cause it's our, you know, our only like main major project. It's about a year and a half ago. You know, we were hanging out. I met her, we did the show, right? And then we were hanging out for about 6 months. And we would like write occasionally on and off, like writing verses, you know, to whatever beats or instrumentals and things like that. And writing a lot of, you know, spoken word or a cappella. We did the new Eurekans Cafe when they, you know, why it feels like forever ago because of COVID. But like, yeah, because like, so we did the new Eurekans Cafe. We did a couple shows together. And I saw her do her own solo show. So we were doing our own thing and working and, you know, life. And then we decided to make this project. And It was funny. I just started writing most of my verses. Like this album, the project we just did, I had my verses, most of them done, you know, within a 6 month span of thinking of the project.
Yeah.
But the album took for us to work on this was like a year and a half, because I was waiting on her for her to finish things. Everyone gets their own time.
Yeah.
And then thinking how we're going to sequence it. And you know, even till this day, how are we going to do a release party? And then COVID hit. And then it's like, yeah. God damn, it's like nothing was working. But
crap that happened in between, you know? Yeah, just a lot of like mood stuff. You know, we're together, right? Like, oh my God, we tried moving in the middle of it. Back. I can't explain really the amount of things that happened. And then my grandmother passed last year.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know, it's just kind of like a whoa, you know, like a spiral of mayhem. And so I was also, it was a good lesson, I don't know, for me. I mean, he's worked on a lot of things before. I worked on like a lot of my own little solo things, but like working with someone else and then through all that, like, yeah, you know, you definitely have to like knock your fears away and like get yourself there and
yeah, so like within a year and a half, that was like the whole block of like trying to muster up the energy to pull everything off.
Yeah.
That's huge. Because I think clearly the context is not available to listeners who just, you know, throw on the album and start listening. I think
it helps
to give a good background to the story. What was the inspiration behind the album itself? I know you had, what was the inspiration behind it? What was the concept for Leave the Block, it's called?
Yes.
What was the inspiration and concept behind that?
So like, I guess it all comes back full circle, right? Where like the clock's running out. So, you know, it is time to leave the block. It is time to leave that community you have right now to go to do something bigger. But you do want to come back and you do want to help your community, or at least who you find important that are very helpful, that are close to you. And the whole concept, like auditorily, is like it starts off just kind of not basic, but it starts off simple enough with the beats and all these things. And by the time you reach the ending, I wanted the beat selection to be a little more spacey because you're leaving the block. So I wanted it to start a little earthy. And then by the time you reach the ending, you're kind of like floating in space, the kind of feel of it. Mm. So if you hear the first couple songs by the end, it's a short project. It's not too long. So by the time you reach the end, the beats are a little more, you know, a little more modern. They're more modern and spacey and atmospheric. And so that's like the whole point of it. It is leaving the block and going ahead and doing something bigger.
Yeah, it's like the skeleton of like the artist, like coming out of their shell, right? Like it starts off more like, you know, what the artist could be, right? Having the confidence to come out and do the thing. Mm. And then in the middle of the project, the tone switches and it's like, oh snap, what about doubts and things that everybody should be thinking about, I think. And then you get to the end and yeah, there's just more questioning, a bit more depth. And that's kind of how I think the project really came to be. It's just like, we kind of had an idea to be like, all right, what do we want to do conceptually together? Like, where do we align? And it's like, we're kind of at the point in both of our lives at that point where we are kind of ready to just like burst out and do, you know, what we've been doing. And I don't know, but giving people and not being afraid to just, you know, say all the words we need to say the way we need to say them. And we definitely have our own ways of going about that. So hopefully we were like, maybe we'll be complimenting each other there. And Leaving the Block was definitely what came out of that. And it kind of became like a bit animated too and fun. You know, we are two fish and in the middle of it, like a dinosaur comes and swoops and like brings the fish to space. And I never thought I'd be doing something like that, to be very honest, but like, it's the fun part of the experience. You know, it's like, oh, life gave me this and gave me this person who would like to maybe like go this direction. It's just happened. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Like while making the project, like haphazardly, like I didn't even know it was going to happen. But by the time I reached the ending of like mixing the whole project and sequencing it, you know, a couple of my friends and even I realized it does have this like Adult Swimmy kind of feel. It's like, kind of like the Mad Villainy cuts on that album where it's just the instrumentals and like the infomercials. it kind of feels that way a little bit when it hits the interlude and I realize, like, you know, maybe there's something that we do naturally because we didn't even try to do it, but it turns out we might, that might be our niche a little bit naturally without us knowing.
I think it's what made me think you both were not local, because I listened to a lot of, I'm no, you know, hip hop guru, I'm no underground, you know, know it all. But I listened to a lot of, I naturally just gravitate towards, you know, the Earl sweatshirts, the people in his camp, a lot of people in that like very underground, low key, they just like to do their own thing and they don't care too much about the mainstream. And a lot of the sounds from the album reminded me of like sounds like that. I'm not sure if you've heard of, what's his name, Milo? But I can send you a few, but like different soundscapes of yours just really reminded me of a lot of like experimental stuff that I've learned already. And I was like, really phenomenal stuff.
That, it's crazy. You know, again, we did not have an idea that that's how it was going to go about. You know, it's really hard to gauge your own work. You know, like to really be like, oh, I definitely, you know, I take a picture like this guy or I do, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you don't want to be like, you know, give yourself so much credit. You know, I'm a bit of a Basquiat. You don't want to be like telling somebody that, but it just came about that way. And it's funny, like, yeah, you say that. I have a lot of people that said that about the project too. And it's a compliment. I really, because I like that camp and I like a lot of those people that do that type of music. It's awesome. It's really cool.
At the end of the day, you can't fight it, you know, right? Like how it's going to come out and flow out, kind of like how it's going to come out and flow out. And so for our first run, it's like, it's cool. You know, we got to choose some of those beats together, tweak some of them on our own and see how we write together. I remember Milo. I remember he had a big hit, Drive, maybe, or I don't know. I used to listen to his beats a lot, like his just the sound of his music or whatever. And
How do you select them beats for the album? Are you making beats yourself? Which I kind of suspect you're making beats.
Well, she makes beats. I totally have the know-how to make beats. I just didn't have any time for this one. But what I did for this project was we went online. I knew some producers that I've worked with prior, like through beat sites and things like that. But I had contact with like three or four of them because we worked with that. I think that's how many producers we had. And we lease the beats. We pay for like the really expensive lease, right? Because we don't have the money to buy them outright. But we get the really expensive lease. We hit them up. And me as the engineer, I tweak everything from there. So there's a lot of sounds that if you heard the beat originally on all the beats, they don't sound like that way.
Yeah.
So I threw like an extra kick or I threw, you know, the sound effects you hear. Yeah. I reversed the beat, did the beat drops, the timing of everything. All those things. So it's kind of like a co-production, but that would be like an insult to the actual producer. So I didn't produce anything from the ground up, but that's what it is.
That's brilliant. So your inspirations, you talk about Andre and Outkast. I'm wondering what your inspirations are and why those two?
Well, for me?
For you, yeah. Why those two especially?
Andre 3000, man, like he is just an anomaly to me, and I love Big Boi too. I mean, he's like the glue, you know. So, you know, my other inspirations could be like M, Biggie. There's actually a lot of Pac in my flow, which everyone always is like, you sound like this person and this person's like, but there's a lot of Pac in there. You just don't know. You could, if you listen closely, Pac has a lot of ease and like my enemy and things like that, and I do it naturally without me knowing. But, you know, those are influences of me. But Andre 3000 is my biggest influence. And Outkast, man, I love neo soul. I love funk. I love hip hop with all my heart. But it's just the thing I can do naturally, again, like that. So I just gravitate towards that. But I do love funk. I do love soul. I mean, I listen to doo-wop on my days off. I listen to Motown. I listen to all those things. Like, I study that stuff. And I grew up with Spanish music, so I need a bit more of a flow. You know, I need more of that. In a Spanish household, you need that. So when I grew up listening to Rosa Parks, when that dropped, Miss Jackson all day, I was playing it all the time. And they're just so inspirational to me. They get so much across that you don't as a listener even get at first, which is the dream for me. It's that Michael Jackson thing. You know, you listen to a song, you love it. You go home, you realize it's about death or whatever. It's like you got something to chew on at night.
Yeah.
It's something I love. So yeah, Andre, also his flow is crazy. Big Boy's flow is crazy. Their rhyme structure, it sounds like they're talking to you, but they're rhythmic.
Yeah.
It's everything I want. It's like everything I want to be, but also not. Because
I don't want
to be the carbon copy. I want to be me. But
oh, of course.
Yeah. Huge inspiration.
How about you? What your flow is very unique and just like out of, I don't know, you can't really like box it in. So I'm very curious to like what you listen to like develop some sort of like style like that.
I have I got a lot of things I listen to from the past. Like I used to just listen to Vampire Weekend a lot. I like a lot of intricate instrument like in my stuff. Vampire Weekend. There's a group called Active Child. They have an album I appreciate very much. It's very harmonious. It sounds like church, just harps and atmosphere. I love some almost anything from the Gorillaz. I love,
oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm just naming a bunch of things, but these are things that are probably my more intense probably influences. I guess I definitely gear myself towards the dramatic. I give a more vague response here in terms of just like the actual atmosphere of the music that I listen to, even though I do have my, you know, my go-to people as well. I mean, Gorillaz is Damon Albarn. You know, I do love some J. Cole. As I get older, I love him more and more. And I always find myself having to go back to these people and, you know, give them the time of day again and again, because, you know, there's a part of me like that's so much faster inside with the music. And then there's a part of me that's still like slow to understand everything they're saying, but it feels right. Yeah. So it kind of makes for like a kind of chaotic group. But I definitely say some of those people are like, they just influence like the sounds I wanted to make, you know. And I think that's a big reason why maybe I didn't go in and make some of these sounds for the project this time around, because we were kind of gearing towards just like doing out of our comfort zone a little bit, like just it's hip hop, but it's got its own little flair to it, but it's not like whoa, like some of the beats that I was making, which are very just like, yeah, they're kind of spoken word mixed with just these rhythmic breakdowns. And I'm like, we're gearing ourselves to challenge and stay kind of in one vein of sound of like actually having like a project that people can just listen to one song after the next. But I don't know. Those are some of my influences. I love Portishead, the group of Beth Givens is the lead vocalist for, I like any music that has any sort of depth or darkness to it. I kind of take to some slower disco. I like a little disco. Yeah, I like a little surf. I like a little all of that. We like a little of everything.
But I mean, I listen to Amy Winehouse, like, and anything prior. Yeah, I mean, it's not just hip hop. It definitely cannot be. You can't have a well balanced diet eating the same thing. But we pretty much like when we do something, it's kind of like we go hard in it if we are going to do it. So if I'm going to do hip hop, I love it. I've studied it. You do anything else, you really got to go and give it your all. So most of her influences are also mine, and I didn't even think about it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know, like if I years ago it's like, oh, I was listening to like a Saba project in Chicago music like all day, like absolutely like rooting for all these people. And then you just traverse and you see like, okay, where are these people now? Oh, this is what they're doing now. Super cool. Or like I said, Vampire Weekend before, it's so funny, I told him I always liked them, and then I found myself listening to the first albums and I was like, oh my goodness, what is this though? You know, you re-listen in your older age and I was like, damn, but I still loved it. But then they have a more recent project called Father of the Bride, and I was like, wow, this seems like something maybe that I wouldn't listen to. It's a little brighter, but it's also a little, it's just very realistic, and it has like, you could tell this person was going through something, and I'm like, that's really what I'm here for, right? You're here to hear what is this person, this artist, going through now in their life? I mean, Tyler, the Creator, I mean, I could just go on forever about just recent artists and past artists and where they've come. And those people, though, I loved, though, growing up, like Vampire Weekend and Tyler, like, even at my age of 27, they got me, like, working into just, like, a mindset of, like, you could do whatever you need to do to get to that point, because that's what your brain's doing.
Yeah, so. I mean, like Frank Ocean, Tyler, all those people. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, it's awesome.
So great you mentioned Tyler, because I haven't listened to Tyler's music at all. I know. It's funny because I listened to his Tiny Desk, his most recent Tiny Desk, which is maybe like a year or two ago. And I really loved like the curation of that whole, however long it was, maybe 20 minutes. But I haven't listened to his albums at all. Out of Odd Future, Earl was the only person that I always followed from the very beginning.
And
Frank Ocean as well. But it's funny how what you said, I think Earl was the one that taught me this. I think as consumers, we tend to kind of get entitled almost and want the music that we want to hear to be made by the artist that we love. So, you know, early on, Earl's music was very, you know, dark, and, you know, the kid was going through a lot of things back when he was younger, suffering deaths in the family. So he was writing a lot of gory stuff. And slowly but surely, his content matured and changed over time, and it became a lot more maybe philosophical and, you know, music that was meant for processing, and the beats weren't necessarily like, ooh, exciting and, you know, to listen to, but it was like, this music is making me process what I'm going through in life. So I think he taught me as a consumer to kind of allow space for artists to make the music that they want to make, because that's what is feeding them. You know, we're artists. The work that we make is an extension of who we are. So it's not supposed to be something that, you know, is geared towards appeasing people. I'm not making this for you. I'm making this first and foremost for me. If you love it, great. If you don't, that sucks. But I love that you mentioned that, because that's the point.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a self-healing process.
Yeah, completely. I felt the same way, like listening to Earl too. And Tyler was a person that I was listening to when I was younger, but I never really stuck to him. Mm. And I mean, he's someone that was kind of, like, he was huge on the scene around the groups that I was hanging around with, but I don't know why I couldn't attach myself to him.
Yeah.
I felt like he had something great, but I just couldn't. And I just, in the back of my mind, I was like, this guy's going to be great one day though. Like, he's going to definitely going to get me one day. And he did. So like his last two albums, man, I was like, this is getting the Grammy, and it won. And I literally heard it, I was like, getting the Grammy. And it's, you know, even though he personally did not teach me anything, just to add to that,
yeah,
the learning process, you know, somebody's shortcomings can teach you something as well, that, you know, that person still has potential and you can't write somebody off. And it's a very like small lesson, but that's the type of thing, man. You see somebody like you have potential and they make it, they actually do it.
Yes.
It's super inspiring.
For sure. For sure. What do you think is the, I don't want to say end goal. I want to say, where do you see Local Fish going from this very point? I think you guys are at the very beginning of your journey together.
Yeah.
And you've set a huge, I think, personally speaking, what's the word? Threshold or a standard for where the next work is going to have to like match that or surpass that. Not to say, you know, you have to beat the that you've made, but in terms of just like quality wise and I think for me personally, you're the first local group that I've necessarily like gravitated towards. I tend not to pay attention to what's going on locally. I think just grasped me, and I think lot of people as well, because you guys already, I think, have a lot of following locally and I'm sure in New York as well. So where do you see things going?
Yeah, like solo, we were doing, it is a really good question. It's something to think about. You know, like solo wise, you know, I've always had a direction for me. She had a direction for her. And we have like a small little following for each other, like our own following.
Yeah.
That we just kind of just joined together for this, for our group.
Yeah.
But for the, I guess, for the future of this, of us, it's like, I guess we were thinking like the next year, the year or two. I wish COVID wasn't here and like shows were open all the time, you know?
Yeah.
But for the next year or two, we want to just keep doing shows, maybe release new music, but through singles.
I was going to say, like, I feel like in terms of like that question, like, oh, where are we going to be even musically, you know, we have a lot of maybe things that we put into our own music that are true to what we really want to do. You know, I still love to sing. I have a love for that release as well. You know, picking up guitar and doing something there. Is that going to be a part of, you know, Local Fish?
Could be.
You know, could be. You know, we just want to put whatever we're genuinely going through into the future of our, you know, stuff. Now that we understand, like, hey, how do people feel about this music? Okay, you know, that's, it means, how do people feel about us to a certain extent as artists? Okay, like, how can we push through that? What are the things that Brandon, aka New, would like to do if he could in his own stuff? Why can't we kind of make a little sandwich out of that and put it together? So that's definitely what I see in terms of like the future. Definitely more vocals I want. Definitely more atmosphere. Definitely a little more depth of who we personally are coming in together. I think that's what we're going to have to work on together. Like, because there's nothing better than getting to know who the artist is. I mean, I could bring up Tyler again and say the same thing. Like, I even loved him in his angst, but because you always kind of have that angst. It doesn't really go away. You just kind of learn how to refine what you have. And then it's like, whoa, look at all these emotions. They're just delivered to me in a way that is palatable, but not fake by any means, just absolutely coordinated and free all at the same time. So, I think we definitely aim to go in any direction like that for us would be amazing. And in terms of performing, I mean, I don't know. I would love to think of more innovative ways to do that too. You know, we have to wait for spaces to open up, things like that. You know, we still want to have a release album.
For that type of stuff, you know, for the performing and stuff like that, you know, we're about to do a huge purchase and buy all the live equipment.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Because I went to school for live sound and mixing and stuff, so. I never pulled the trigger and got the equipment. So
yeah, that's another thing.
Now we can just go get a venue and we don't have to get the middleman, and we can just bring our car and all the equipment and mics and stuff. So, you know, we really are trying to push it. Like, that's a very serious move, that we could just set up shop everywhere or most venues, like small venues. But yeah, in terms of musically, I feel the same way. I feel like when I was making the music with her, I feel like as a duo, like Outkast, I just want it to be like, you throw anything at the wall and see if it sticks. I don't care if someone doesn't like it.
Yes.
I feel like us together is the stomping ground. Like, it's a stomping ground. You're kind of hearing two people spar creatively.
Yes.
And I think that's definitely something I love and people like to hear. Two people kind of work out the equation together.
Yeah.
Not someone who already knows the answer. You know,
I would love to, you know, rent an ice cream truck and just yell on it.
Yeah.
You know, just yell our whole album on it. You know, that's it. Like, just do whatever feels right. You know, we still have the kid in us, still got the fish there. And it's just like, well, how do you want to give that out? It's also why, by the way, yeah, all the equipment, that's also why the project sounds so great too. He has great ears. He has like golden ears, really. Like, just for like understanding like the voice with just the vocals and the instrumental together is just always like so perfect.
And I still hear the issues with it. You like when you take a picture, you always see the issues, like if you could have done something better or whatever. Yeah. So that's how this, if you hear the project, anyone out there sees this and hears the project, like I hear issues
you all know what needs to be tweaked and you know where the shortcomings are, but to the, you know,
the listener, yeah, they won't hear it.
You have to cut the string for yourself sometimes and be like, well, I gotta take the leap now. It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, even on your your social media platform. I saw that you announced that it was going to be released 1 week, and then you're like, no, it's going to be released.
Yeah, yeah, it was like three times that happened. And I was like
freaking out. I was like, damn it. No, it's like, so realistic though. I mean, exactly. Great.
So realistic. Yeah. Yeah. It's also hard, like, just as a side note, it's also really hard just being two people and only you get to listen to the music. Like, I could totally show people, but you know, I gotta go run to the car, I gotta hear it in headphones, I gotta hear it on the phone, I gotta hear it everywhere. And it's hard being the mixing engineer, the masterer, the person who writes it, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah,
and,
another amazing conversation is the artist, right? The environment of the artist is like, yes.
Yeah, it's hard. Then you gotta sit in the computer all day and listen, and then you got her input, I got my input, and you're kind of fighting creatively, and it's a lot.
How do you scale upward from where you both are right now? I'm not sure if you've thought about that yet. With regards to some of the obstacles and challenges that comes with not only being early artists, but also a duo in this sense under Local Fish. What are some of the challenges that come up, some of the obstacles that you have to face, and then what are some of the challenges that you both have to face with getting to scale upward? You know, I'm sure, you know, you'd love to get recognized, you know, beyond New York City. I mean, I think the music has potential for a far and wide, you know, reach.
Yeah, I guess that's like, I want to do a tour. We want to do a tour somewhere, kind of get, I don't know, kind of, we have to start somewhere and get somebody who knows venues and things and do a small tour with some friends that we know that also do music that are in the vein of us. Mm-hmm. And that's getting the name out there. Also, like getting our, we have, you know, we have some great friends, even though we joke, we do have some amazing friends that help us.
Yes.
Spotify playlist is the next thing. We have to get on good playlists, Apple Music playlists, just playlists in general. Getting the name out there, you know, we got to get business cards. We still got to get stickers involved. We're doing our own merch.
Yeah.
She does all the art. So it all feeds in where she already has it. We have an animated lyric video and we're trying to do more videos. We have to do, it's visuals heavy. And I'm not really that, I've only had two music videos, even in my solo stuff. So we gotta really like work hard.
Yeah.
And I see my shortcomings. Like we have to really push that way because it's a serious, this is something really serious that I know people really like and really enjoy.
Yeah, we got to get like spiritual, you know, we got to get real focused.
Yeah, spiritual is the best word. Yeah,
like, you gotta get spiritual.
You got to pray and do it.
You know, you have to talk the feelings out. You have to have outlets outside of the music to get back to the music. You have to, because it's not a forced process, but you also do have to stay on your own butt, obviously, kind of like.
Yeah.
And, It's kind of like just being innovative without thinking about the innovation.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of artists, including us in the past, and even now, I'm sure, you know, you struggle because, right, you
get fixated and then
you get fixated. Like, you don't, I don't know. I guess like, I don't have that issue. I haven't really had that issue, I guess, like in recent time, because like, that's what happens when you get to a mindset where like, you know, you're who you are. And you're just like, this is who I am. Here you go. Like, that's it. That's all I can give you. But if you don't really have that yet and still trying to cultivate some level of originality to your work, you know, you might be focusing on that more than, you know, actually doing innovating it and doing. And
yeah.
So people are focusing on that. And I only bring that up because it's like, well, that's kind of a part of the question. It's like, well, how do you plan on moving upward? It's kind of acting on a whim, you know, even with the ice cream truck thing I said, you know, if you say things out loud, you don't restrict yourself from any free range thought, even though, you know, it's hard to have so much free range thought with everybody, especially nowadays. But I don't really mean this in a tumultuous way.
Yeah, there's a fine line. But
you kind of do have to surround yourself with some people who are kind of able to just kind of like keep you there and be like, hey, this is okay. Like, why not do that?
Why not
do a puppet show? Why not do these things that could be ultimately like how people can also begin to perceive you, and maybe you'll, you know, it'll stick within you and it'll be the thing that you do that gets you there. But definitely hard because we're in such a saturated artistic environment a little bit sometimes, because we have so much access to be able to express ourselves through all this media and everything now. So Yeah. It's like, now it's everybody's doing it, you know? It's like, yeah. And that's okay, right? So it's hard because as a person with like an open mind, you're thinking like, yes, that's what I want. But then you're like, well, is it, you know, is this people's lifestyle where they like need to release this way? Do they know who they are? It's kind of taking away from people who might, you know, give something with feeling, you know, I have to speak on it directly. Like I'm here for that. So it's kind of going through all of that stuff.
Yeah,
and that's like what's going to be
like,
the challenge.
It's like right the now. Challenges are, yeah, like mental constraint, getting past your fears, insecurities, waking up in the morning and going on a feed and seeing somebody do what you just thought to do. And then you're like, I got to change the game plan now.
Yeah.
But then you might be thinking the world's looking at you and you don't have to change it because what if the world's not looking at them?
Yeah.
And then you should just do it either way.
Yeah.
And it's all these questions. And in terms of the other question you had, like challenges of us being a duo, you know, there's not too many like duos. I didn't realize until afterwards of female and male that are on an equal playing field. It's usually a male rapping and the girl singing, or I don't know, it's rare, but maybe vice versa. But like they always constrain a girl to be, you know, on the opposite spectrum. It's like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like something hot and cold, like hot cake and ice cream. Like it's always having to be something crazy. How come it can't just be two people that that contrast each other at any given time? Like, so we just want to be fluid with how we convey music. It has nothing to do with genders. It has nothing to do with race, about being Spanish or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It's just being an individual and wanting to reach out to that individual.
Okay.
And there's no problem in my brain of how people will perceive us as long as we stay true and I stay true to who I am and she does the same. I honestly feel like that'll blow over well.
Yes.
I'm very happy with like the work speaking for itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How do you think, well, not how do you think, how can people support you? Because I think in the age of streaming nowadays, I think I just thought about that. Like, you know, you guys put out an album and it was accessible via Spotify. I didn't have to pay for it, which is kind of like criminal. So how can people actually support your work if that avenue is possible right now?
Well, Bandcamp, definitely.
Bandcamp
100%. And they have the first of the month, right?
Yep. So there's Bandcamp Fridays and I'm pretty sure it's still going on. I really need to double check that, I'm more positive. So Bandcamp is a site that artists,
it's where Joey Badass actually got like really big off of, actually.
Yes. So it's a site where you can upload your project, your tracks. You can actually even have a merch listing on there and you have people buy your album right off there for, you know, $8.99, what have you.
So yeah, you can name your price. You could do it for free.
You can.
If you do it for free, you can give your email. So you stay in our mailing list.
Yeah.
And you could also sell merch from there and tickets and like let people know. So it's kind of like a little website for free. You know, it's not exactly, but it is, you have more command over that than a Facebook page or an Instagram page.
And the thing that's particularly like unique about Bandcamp Fridays, which kind of launched during COVID times here, the first Friday of every month, all proceeds go to the artist. So Bandcamp doesn't even take share from that. And that helped a lot of artists, you know, stay afloat. So I suppose like, you know, monetary definitely helps. Also, we want to, you know, once we're finally coming out with shows, we'll have merch there for, you know, full allotted price. You know, of course, for people to actually come and, you know, maybe get a ticket or get this or get that, you know, that would be great. And also just really the support we really, really need, even though the money, it's important because it fuels everything that we're doing and makes it more accessible for us and any artist.
It's just sharing,
you know?
Even though like, you know, the money you'll make more as an artist anyway is through shows and merch.
Yeah.
But if anyone wants to purchase the album, that's greatly appreciated. So Bandcamp is where it's at.
Yeah.
And you can, and people can find us on, you know, Bandcamp
subscribing to YouTube.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
YouTube's like kind of forever at this point, a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
I guess.
So YouTube subscribe to Bandcamp.
But yeah, sharing. Oh my goodness. If people just said like, hey, listen to this song, or like, look, I'm cooking eggs to this song, I'd be like, yeah.
If you've heard one song, it's not twerking music. It's not really party music. It might be get together music with like a beer or wine or something.
You know, I'm not working out to it all the time. Some people do though. You know, sometimes I'm just working out the ASAP.
People have different workout interests that some people work out to classical music. So
Yeah. I work out to weird music too. So we've had someone actually play our music working out. So that was cool.
Had a few people who are like into it's like, anything. Which is cool because it's some of the more competent tracks, you know? So that's the thing. Hey, anybody who wants to work it into their everyday life, that could be the best like sharing.
Yeah.
Really.
Listen to our music however you want.
It's so true.
It's just support it. Bandcamp, Fish, YouTube.
You know?
And they can find you on social media as well at...
Oh, yes, at Local Fish Official, which is Local Fish. And then Official is OFFISHAL, like O Fish. And if there could be like a vote on that or even from you, I'm like, should we keep it that way? Does that make it harder to find us? But like, I thought it was fun. I don't want to knock those things, you know, Local Fish Official.
There's fish in the official. So I think
I feel like the fish works, you know, it's fish.
Also, when you type in Local Fish, honestly, the official just goes away and then you just see it on the top. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that works. And then your personal accounts as well. I think that'd be good so people can find both of you individually.
You're 100%.
Yeah, mine is... at Brand New York, and that's NU, like Brand New York. So because the artist name is new, so it's exactly how it's spelled, BrandNU York, Brand New York.
Then for me it's
actually I take it back. Also, I'm sorry, I think there's an underscore underscore between Brand and New York. Brand _ New York, there we go.
I was gonna say, I saw that visually in my head. I was like, okay, so wait,
and yours.
I was kind of interrupting the whole time. Brand _ new NU York. And then for me, it's just Renapsable. So it's my rap name as an adverb, my artist name, I should say, RenapsAble. And that's it.
Renapsable.
Thank you guys so much. I really do appreciate this. I think, I don't know, I feel like I would love to have another conversation actually. But I'll let this one live on its own for a bit and then have a bit more kind of just off-kilter conversation about just, I don't know. I think there's a lot that I want to talk about that I think you guys can speak to outside of even just music. So we'll get into that, I think, in the future. But thank you so much.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love it. Where was like same time next week?
Thank you so much for having us here and having great questions. Really, that's a good interview process. Thank you.
That is it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want more insights and resources for emerging creatives, be sure to check out artisansintrade.com. We are curating everything from articles and courses to more podcast episodes. We'll see you next time.